us today is that we find God's will for our lives. Amen. He wants us to discover what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you looked in Romans 12 before, you'll see right there he talks about God's good and acceptable and perfect will. Amen. And with that, we can be our very best for God. See, the problem is that so many have been become comfortable with less than God's best. We've accepted it, we've embraced it, we've gotten in a position where we are right with less than the Lord's best. And I want us to grow to the point where we stop accepting anything other than God's divine best for our lives. Oh, y'all come on now. Yeah, it's one of those where, yeah, and I ain't looking for you to shout because, you know, and I'm not worried about it because I'm not running for public office. Amen. I just want to say, God just called me to preach the word, so I'm going to do that this morning. Amen. Amen. So accepting anything less than God's very best for our lives is something wrong with that. But I want God to raise up a thirst, a hunger, a passion, a desire to be in the will of God and then to receive God's divine best all the rest of the days of our life. Amen. I want us to receive that which he has already planned. Didn't Jeremiah 29:11 say, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Amen. I want everything God has planned for me. Now, have a job, but don't just be comfortable with any old job. Strive to get the job that God has equipped you for that will allow you to earn the most for your working hours. If you're single and you're not married, don't just marry anybody that comes along. The married people should have been saying amen to nobody else. Amen. Desire to have, ask the Lord to send his best in to your life. Amen. See, anybody can hobo their way through life. You know what hobos do, don't you? They take anything that somebody gives them, they live on anything they can find, and they're comfortable having nothing to call their own. Amen. But God does not want you and I hoboing our way through life. He wants us to look for God's very best. He wants us to act and to conduct ourselves as his children. And in so doing, we'll find our place. We'll find God's will for our lives. I almost wanted to ask how many of y'all know, but that's a personal inventory question because you need to know whether I know or not. Everybody needs to know God's will for their own lives. Amen. And let's open up the text. Let's open it up. Let's chop it up a little bit. And my first point is this: simply walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, how many of us, and I will ask this question, how many of us can remember our days in darkness? Hallelujah. Amen. I remember those dark days, amen? But Paul says to us, now you are what? You are light. In the dark, I was making what? Bad decisions. But now that I'm in the light, I am trying to make the best decisions that God will allow me to make. Paul is saying that because you are in the light, you ought to walk like you are in the light. See, and there were times I believe that we were in so much darkness that we didn't even realize we was in the dark. Amen. And but now what? We're in the light. And you know, see, the best way I can describe darkness is we have a room in our house, a bedroom that we call the blackout room. And you can go to sleep in there and you don't know whether it's day or night. Amen. It's just that dark. And every time Irie comes home, she has to make sure that the blackout room is hers. And she goes in there and y'all don't know Irie. Irie will go to bed at 8 o'clock. Sun still be shining outdoors. But the other part of it is she might be up about 4 o'clock because that's just her schedule and stuff. But if you wake up in that room and you're not familiar with the room, you've got to kind of feel your way around, amen, and based on your memory, try to get to the door, to the light switch without stubbing your toe or hurting yourself. Unless somebody flips the light on for you. Well, I want you to understand this morning that we were in darkness, but God flipped the switch. And now we are in the light. We are children of light. Amen. And with that, see, the problem is that many believers are in the light, but they want to keep living their lives and making decisions like they're in the dark. Y'all, don't get mad at me. Can I be free this morning? See, sometimes pastors just won't go and lay it on down. See, y'all can really get your minds wrapped around it because sometimes I get into that theological role and y'all be, yeah, amen. And I'll get an amen every now and then. But today I want to come on your street. I want to come down that block where you reside. Amen. We can't keep making decisions like we're living in the dark when we are in the light. The biggest problem that many believers have is that they don't want to do what the Word of God teaches. Uh-oh, y'all, come on now. Amen. We want to make decisions in the light, live like we're in the dark. We, you know, the light's been turned on. See, the Word of God is not only inspirational, it provides illumination as well. It provides light that you and I might know our direction, know where we're going, and what God is telling us to do. Now, see, we have been taught. So, therefore, the light is on in our lives. The switch has been flipped. Amen. And we need to understand that we cannot act like we don't have light. Verse 9 says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." And see, that's what happens when the light is turned on. People, amen, who act like it has not occurred, They find themselves trying to turn off the light, block the light, act like it doesn't apply to them. But because you choose to worship at Christian Charity Church, you've been taught. Amen. Pastor ain't up here hooping and hollering and can on and ain't taught you nothing. Neither has Pastor Trey. You come out on Tuesday night, Brother Herb and I, we teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ up in here. Amen. So it's one of those that you might walk away and say, well, I didn't learn nothing. Well, if you didn't learn anything, it's because you didn't apply yourself. Because you had every opportunity to be taught someplace on Sunday morning or on Tuesday night. So let me encourage you to do something today. Live like you have been exposed to the light. We just keep on making bad decisions, even though we know the truth. Let me help y'all out. You know you shouldn't be dating him or her if they're not saved. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that, do you? You know if you ain't married, you shouldn't be shacking up and living together, but y'all just keep on shacking. Amen. You know that you shouldn't be having sex before you're married, but you keep on hitting it every chance you get. Now, see, I told you, I asked if I could be real, if I could be free, so I am. Amen. And let me say a word to the brothers. And, you know, brothers, you ain't strong enough to go in the legs and share the gospel and not get caught up with the sister on the pole. Yeah. All right, y'all don't know about legs, do you? Legs is a strip joint down on 50 Highway. And I just know about it because I come by there. On my way, and I wait, now, see, y'all think, Pastor, now, I ain't messing with you. And my wife has been with me. And a lot of times you see that big old, you know, those searchlights that they have. They have one of them out there be shining all up in the sky at night. So, but the point is, brother, you don't go in there. You ain't strong enough to handle that. And most of y'all are not strong enough, most of us are not strong enough to hang out with our old crew. Amen. Because see, if they are drinking, you'll be drinking. If they snorting the line, you'll be snorting the line. If they rolling joints, you'll be up in there rolling joints and smoking right along with them. Husbands, don't act like we haven't taught you how to love your wives. Amen. The brothers ought to say amen of nobody else. Because I'd rather the sisters said amen. He knows how. Yeah, Pastor, he's doing it too. No. Praise the Lord. Amen. And some sisters should have been. You know, we taught sisters how to submit to the husband. Submit is not a dirty word. Amen. Yeah. See, the problem, with a lot of people is that they want more revelation. They want God to show, Lord, show me a new thing. Why would God show you something new when you ain't done nothing with the revelation that he's already given you? Amen. You know why? What, God, you want God to keep on showing you, and you not doing anything? So what you need to understand is you need to walk in the light that God's already revealed, and then God will give you what? More light. I can't speak for y'all, but see, I'm glad that God brought me out of darkness into the light. I'm glad that he brought me out of hypocrisy, amen, into the light. I'm glad he brought me out of religion into a relationship with him. Haven't we spent enough time in darkness? Then come on out and walk as children of light. Amen. God is wanting us to come knowing him and being the church of Jesus Christ. Now, second point in Peel is stop fellowshipping with darkness. Verse 11 says, "Now have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Some people don't know the will of God because they're still dibbling and dabbling, hanging out, having fellowship with darkness. If you're still hanging with the old crew, one or two things has happened. They're either drawing you away from Jesus Christ, or you are drawing them towards Jesus Christ. There ain't no neutral territory. There, you know, one way or the other, somebody's being pulled in one direction or the other. And see, that's where the rubber meets the road. And see, at some point, we have to mature to that level where we understand that there are some people we just got to cut off. There are some relationships we just got to say, nah, this is not helping me, it's not working in my favor, amen. And see, if you're dealing and got relationships with sinful relationships, immoral, amen, unethical relationships, it's time to cut them off. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that. See, Junebug was my buddy growing up. We used to get high together. We used to chase girls together. He won't know how to act if I tell him I can't hang with him no more. Junebug might get the message that he needs Jesus. If you tell him I ain't can't do that no more. Amen. You know, see, some of us are just stuck in those positions that are not helping us, but it says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. And we've got to make sure that if we are touching those folk, that they're not pulling us away from our relationship with Jesus Christ. Living in an age where people would rather be told a lie than told the truth. Amen. How do you think Donald Trump got in office? He didn't get in because the truth was told or people believed the truth. He got in because people believed the lie. They took the hype and put in, went in the box and punched out his little black mark. But you and I, we have to stand up for the truth. We have to make up our minds that we are going to stand for the truth, even if it makes us dislike, rather than compromise the truth to be like. Oh, y'all. Now, amen. We got to make a decision, amen, and choose light over darkness. See, so many churches across our nation are compromising the truth Amen. Amen. They, you know, they won't take a stand on the word of God. But I declare this morning that here at Christian Charity, we are going to continue to preach, to teach the word of God, and stand on God's truth. Amen. I don't care what they do. That's what God has called us to do over here. And matter of fact, that verse went on to say, expose them. Make their ungodly behavior work. Make it known. Amen. Don't try to cover over it like it don't exist. It says publicize it. And that what expose mean? It means to pull the cover off of it so people can see the sin that's underneath, that's being hidden. See, when it says don't fellowship, you know what fellowship is? It means friendly association with people of like ideas or mind. The guys I grew up with, the guys I went to college with, unless they've come to Christ, we may see each other, but we can't truly have fellowship because we don't have the same mind. They still got the mind of the world. God has blessed me with the mind of Jesus Christ. Amen. So y'all need to come on and go with me, because see, I know it's challenging some of us to really change, but we need to call sin sin and stand on the truth. And basically the Apostle Paul is saying to us, stop fellowshipping with darkness. And it doesn't say sometime, it says no fellowship. And that means that if it's dark, you need to come on out of there and leave it alone. Thirdly, walk circumspectly. Verse 15 says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And circumspectly means that we should walk diligently, accurately, precisely, amen. And it means that in the application of God's words in my life, that I should apply it just as God intends it. God wants us to be faithful in how we apply his word, amen. And see, when we're faithful in applying God's word to our lives, doors will open up for us. Amen. And I mean, doors of opportunities that had never presented themselves become available to that person who faithfully applies the word of God to their life. Well, that's another one of them sticky points. Because we want God to keep opening doors for us when we haven't accessed or walked through the ones that he's already opened. So accurately, precisely, diligently apply God's word to your life. Amen. And see, God don't want you to, as the old folk used to say when I was come, he don't want you to dare to do it. He don't want you to half do it. And he don't want you to rig it. He don't want you to put your own spin on it. He wants you to apply it just like he intended it. And then he tells you what? Don't be foolish. Anybody in here been foolish besides me? Have you ever done some stuff? Herb said, boy. Have you ever done some stuff and then said, ooh, that was foolish? I don't even know why I did that. I know I have. And you know, and it's one of those that when you take a look at it, we've all made some foolish decisions. But you know what? I'm so glad this morning that we serve a God who will let us make bad choices and bad decisions and give us another chance. He'll pick us up, he'll dust us off, sit us back on the road, and allow us to go back to work in his kingdom, doing what he called us to do in the first place. I'm glad that God doesn't strike me out because of one bad choice or one foolish decision. God allows us to get back in his will. And then to close, verse 16, it says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And we know that if you turn on your computer, you see a lot of evil going on in the world. If you look at the news any time of day, you know, I watch Channel 5 News, and every time it comes on, it says breaking news. And when I see breaking news, and that's almost every time it comes on, I know something bad has happened. So in light of the evil that we are exposed to in this world, we need to act immediately. We need to stop postponing. We need to stop putting off. And many people's lives are messed up because they just keep putting it off and waiting and want to see what's going to come to pass. Amen. See, I've heard people say, I'm just waiting on a sign. A sign. Jesus talked about them people in the Bible who was always looking for a sign. And then there are those people who will say, I'm just waiting for God to show me. Or God to tell me. Well, I got good news for you this morning. God is telling you through his word today that it's time for you to redeem the time, amen, for all the time you spent in darkness, all the time you spent doing foolish things, all the time you did making bad decisions and choices. It is time this morning to redeem the time. This is the day we should redeem the time by giving our life to Jesus Christ. It's the day we should redeem the time by rededicating our lives. It's the day we should redeem the time from all of the waste that we time that we had in our lives in order to glorify God. And the reason I tell you that is because God loves you. He loves you enough to send his son who died out on Calvary that you might have everlasting life. See, when Jesus died, it was to bring us not just out of darkness into the light, but it was to bring us into relationship with him so we could spend eternity with him in glory. So today is the day that we should redeem the time. See, he did not stay dead, but on the third day morning, hallelujah, he got up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hand. Yeah. I want to know for myself. I want to know for sure God's will for me. Don't just go through life without direction, without an understanding of the will of God. You want to get there? Take the prescription. Walk as children of light. Don't have no fellowship with darkness. Amen. Amen. And just walk right on down through there and understand that when you walk circumspectly, that other people will take notice. And then when they recognize that, hey, that brother, that sister made a decision that on the 27th day of August that they were going to redeem the time and gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me as we extend the privilege of the church. This is the day the Lord has made. You ought to come and surrender to Him.